Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you
stand? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Oh yeah, we have much, much, much to talk about. Oh yeah, we have much, much, much to talk about. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. We have much, 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 much to talk about. There is so much stuff going on out here. I'm looking at a new electroshock device and sold to the police. And I guess I want to do a couple of things. Last night was the Golden Globes. I'm sure you're thinking, where are you going with this? Last night was the Golden Globes. Yes, Dreamgirls.
She was awesome.
Dreamgirls rocked. You know, they rocked. I've seen it. It's a fun movie. It's really a pretty movie. It's a fun. Jennifer Hudson is extraordinary. Yeah, she is extraordinary. Simon Cowell, I think, he did have to apologize to her. He apologized to her. So, but here's the thing, that at the Golden Globes last night there were some French police. The French police on an exchange program were monitoring or being present at the Golden Globes. And so the French police did their things. They did their show-off things. This is what we do. And they had these really sleek white Yamaha motorcycles. They had these really cool outfits. They did this really cool formation stuff. And it's like, this is how we roll. And so the LA cops, you know, not to be outdone, also showed how they roll. And it's just, it's frightening. It's a really frightening commentary. The L.A. police came out, and no, they just didn't grab an innocent person and start beating the heck out of them, you know. But they did the next best thing and then the next telling thing about the world that we live in here. L.A. police came out in riot formation and fired rubber bullets. It's like, huh? Huh? They fired rubber bullets. The French police came out and did figure eights on their pretty motorcycles, and they came out in rubber or in riot formation and fired rubber bullets. Now tell me, what do the French police think of their citizens? What do the LA police think of their citizens? And that segues me into this taser story that you don't want to miss. Stay with me.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Be in the know as you're on the go with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Like a light bulb in a dark room, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Okay, the French police visit L.A. and in a demonstration of what they do, sleek, pretty motorcycles, great uniforms, and just, you know, riding through the crowd. L.A. police come out in riot formation. It's like, dang, that's all you know how to do. You have a siege mentality on us. And they fired rubber bullets. What do they want to do to us? There's a new law. There was a launch of a new electroshock device. An interesting timing. Just days after the deaths of two men who were stunned by the police using a similar product. And if you want to know, if you want to feel, if you want to just understand where we're headed, it's called the Taser C2. It looks like a high-tech personal shaver. But here's the sick... Here's an additionally sick component to this. It comes in colors like an iPod. Do you hear me? It's like a... They are trying to make this seem like it's a necessity, like a phone, or it is equally acceptable as a phone or an iPod. On Tuesday, a police officer in Wilson, North Carolina, used a taser on a 15-year-old baby. After trying to break up a fight. Come on. 15-year-olds get in fights. It's amazing they don't do more given all the hormones that are going through all of their bodies at that time. They're still children. They're using tasers on our 15-year-olds. Outside of the United States and the UK, guess what tasers are used for? And I would argue they're used for both in both places. But at least according to this one article, guess what the tasers are used for? A torture. People are being led to believe that this is a good, quick, harmless method, but there's no comprehensive medical research on what tasers do to a human body. I think there is, and we're not being told what it is. There have been over 220 deaths in the use of tasers. The police are saying that this reduces decreased police shootings and injuries to officers and civilians alike. How could it be that tasers have... We've seen pictures of tasers where grandmothers have been tasered by the cops, where pregnant women have been tasered by cops, where children have been tasered by cops. You know, I believe... And then you see these extraordinarily stupid news personalities out there that want to get on camera. I'll take a taser. Now, I can't prove this. I suspect, or I wouldn't be surprised, because it's all part of this propaganda thing. Understand, propaganda is 24/7. And there are all kinds and means of propaganda. I suspect, I cannot prove, or I wouldn't be surprised. And I wouldn't be surprised. If these people out here that are taking tasers for the camera are not being well compensated for these stories by those who make the tasers. Because these stories serve a useful propagandistic purpose. They contribute to the concept and the belief that, oh, a taser is just like getting a little bit, a little shock. I saw it done to that news camera guy or that news reporter. He's all right. It's sick. It's twisted. And you know what? They have far too much sick, twisted fun in it. 50,000 votes. And if you want to, or what they're called, I think it's Joules, J-O-U-L-E-S. That's the measurement. And a joule, a taser uses 50,000 volts. 0.7 joules administered for 5 seconds. A cardiac defibrillator operates at 3 times less than that. Police officers are instructed to use tasers in different situations and different locales. And how do you prove? And here's the thing. It's like a bullet doesn't lie. You can go into a body. You can look at a bullet. You can see where it landed. You can evaluate whether or not someone did something wrong with a bullet. You can. Not in all cases. But in theory and in actuality, you can tell a lot about a bullet. If a bullet lands in a body, you can tell, if not a lot, you can tell some things about what happened. What can you tell after a taser's been done? There's no evidence left behind. They can say it was 10,000 volts when it was really 500,000 volts. What's the evidence of that? What is the evidence of that? And so when we have different police departments, some that would say, oh, yeah, 15-year-old students, you can put a taser on them. And other departments say, no, you need to have something really severe going on before you use it. And people that live in this country believe that, you know, think, this is America. They wouldn't put weapons in the hands of police that haven't been, that we don't know what they do. Yeah, they do. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. Much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that. It's fine. At revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get to me.
Morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's check out your traffic for today as well as your weather. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight as well as from 141 through Mason, you can expect some slowdowns. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79 is starting to build at this hour. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 255-270 interchange. Look for some delays as you roll through that interchange. Northbound 270 from 44 through Big Bend is starting to build up at this hour. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect some delays from 3rd Street onto the bridge. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is rolling well into downtown. Westbound 270 up in the North County area looks good. Southbound Highway 79 at Old 79, there's an accident reported that's just north of 70 in O'Fallon. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy this morning, high only in the mid-20s for this evening, mostly clear, colder with a low around 10. For Wednesday, not quite as cold, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 30s. And Thursday, partly sunny skies with a high only around 40. Currently, we have flurries, 15 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 14 degrees. The wind chill makes it feel like it's negative 1. So bundle up if you're headed out to the bus stop this morning or if you're taking the kids to school. Just make sure that they bundle up and dress warm. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. Up more, riveting talk radio with the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Direct from Broadway, the winner of six 2005 Tony Awards, The Light in the Piazza is the romantic new musical that transports you to 1950s Florence, Italy. You can almost feel the warmth of the Tuscan sun. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young American woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian. And so it begins. Broadway's ultimate love story, filled with passion, tenderness, and romance. The Light in the Piazza. The critics have hailed it a must-see, with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story. Don't miss The Light in the Piazza, coming to the Fox Theater for 2 weeks only, January 30th through February 11th in the U.S. Bank Broadway series and sponsored by American Airlines. For tickets, call 314-534-1111 or order online at metrotix.com. It won the critics. It won the Tonys. Now, let it win your heart.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Bert Sachs. Who is Bert Sachs? He was fined $10,000 for traveling to Iraq to bring medicine to needy children. And he's filing a lawsuit in response to that. Was it legal for the U.S. to have knowingly caused the deaths of Iraqis? He's having a press conference today in Washington, D.C. at 1 o'clock on this very case, and he's going to be joining us on the wake-up call today. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about Somalia. Should we be bombing Somalia? What does it mean that we are? Our guest, Salim Malone, will be joining us from Great Britain to talk to us about bombing in Somalia. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. You feel safe out there? You feel good about your good government? All going well? Life is good. Nothing to talk about. Boy George is in charge. He's at the wheel. Y'all feel comfortable with that? All right. All right. Well, while you were napping or deluding yourself, know this. The Pentagon has abandoned its limit on the time that a citizen soldier can be required to serve on active duty. Do you hear me? They've abandoned the time limit. So you want to know where the surge is coming from? I don't think it's as much a surge as it is a just a I don't even know what the word is. Because a surge represents to me this energy push, this intense energy push. You're taking the most. It's like you have this basketball team, and you've been playing for three quarters. Everybody is exhausted, and you go and get from your bench to play on the varsity team. Six members of the team that have just sat down from playing junior varsity, and you say, all right, guys, we're putting you in. You're the surge. You're the surge. You're the people that are going to bring the energy to the rest of this game to finish it up and let us win. Huh? You go get exhausted members of your team to replace newly exhausted members of your team to replace the exhausted members of your team, and you call that a surge. No, that's just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. That's what that is. It is nothing. It is double nothing. Because the ship is sinking. 1-877-920-WGNE. So here's how we do it. Here's how we do it. The Pentagon said that they are not going to have a limit on the time that a citizen soldier can be required to serve in active duty. Also, the Pentagon is proposing to the Congress that the size of the Army be increased by 65,000, that the Marines grow by 27,000 over the next five fiscal years. Now, years. Are y'all crazy? How are you going to grow the military by 65,000 men and women? And where do we get this money from to do that? You're going to grow the military within 5 years. You haven't been able to grow the military in the last 5 years. Last three and a half, I know for sure. So understand. This is how it works. A reservist can be mobilized for one 24-month stretch in Iraq and or Afghanistan. Then they're demobilized and allowed to return to civilian life, only to be mobilized a second time for as much as an additional 24 months. And the way that it has worked in recent years, members of the Guard, their combat brigades, have spent 18 months on active duties, and out of that 18 months, about 6 months of it is in pre-deployment training, followed by about 12 months in Iraq. Under the old policy, they couldn't have been sent back to Iraq because their cumulative time on active duty would exceed 24 months. Now, there's no such thing. Who? 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Car phone.
I know the Iraqi people are scared now. Here come the surge. They send in the big boys.
That's right. Yeah. I am so scared.
They are shaking in their boots. They are trembling. They are fighting.
You know the military strategy of the Pentagon is, and their military, their intel tells them, well, the Iraqi people don't read. They don't know what's happening here. They have no idea.
Liz, they know that surge is coming. They know, boy, America's coming now, y'all. They're going to spank us.
Yes, they are.
And you know where that money's coming from. It's coming from health care, education, Social Security, all of those things, so that Halliburton and those boys can stay fit. But it's amazing that they ask, you know how they say, well, this surge, we'll expect to see good things happen in 6 to 9 months in the summer or fall. Why do you put that? That's it, like saying, well, things are going to get better in the year 2073. We'll see improvement on the activity. And there's, yeah, and then we ask them, they ask, well, what if this surge and doesn't work? Then they go, well, we want to talk about the positive. We want to focus on the positive, and we want to do this. That's what happened last time. What happens if an insurgency happens? No one talked about Plan C. We need to be looking at Plan H, I, J, and K on these boys because they don't have a plan when this surge, this supposed surge, don't work. They're just stringing it out.
And the other piece of it is that we are losing. The United States is losing in a civil war.
You can't win.
So wait a minute. But the response to the losing in this civil war is to send the most tired, the most stressed out, the weakest link in our military. That's the answer to losing a civil war.
And then Iran is supposed to be trembling in their boots. Scared to death about America's coming. They're already tired and weary.
They can count just as well as anybody else. What America going to do? The only thing that America can do that doesn't require a whole lot of troops is bomb people. That's why they're in Somalia bombing, because they sure can't win on the ground.
I don't get it. And the world isn't behind them at all. And it's quite amazing that they're going to have our soldiers go and clear a town, then keep a town, and like they said, with these little brigades spread all over like that in smaller sections, they're going to be vulnerable. So the death rate is going to go up. But as long as Jenna and Barbara isn't there, we're okay, America. We're good. We're cool.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing today?
Good morning, Michael.
Let's see. I found out that the two children that were found during the weekend with the help of the FBI, I was wondering if they would put that much effort into finding people like Christian Ferguson.
Well, and here's the thing. I know that the family that the baby was kidnapped, the first baby, they spent a whole lot of time looking for Christian Ferguson. They did. They really, really were. And the police didn't just, this was something they stumbled onto.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
this was one of those lucky coincidence breaks types of thing. And, you know, this particular family, I know that this particular family has really reached out to all kinds of families that have lost their children. And it's my understanding, I remember reading about it, and I remember talking to people about it at the time, they did put a whole lot of effort into looking for Christian Ferguson. And they may very well still be assisting in some way. So, but I understand the larger point in terms of how the media, who the media focuses on in terms of lost babies, who has more value. In fact, I've done several shows on all of the missing young black women that the same media has ignored when looking for some blonde chick in Aruba at 18 years old who never should have been going there to begin with. The media loves that, and the media places value on that, so. There you go.
Okay, I have another question. I understand that that there's some type of battle group heading toward Iran.
Yeah, I think they're already there. I think there's already a battle cruiser floating offshore of Iran.
Oh, I guess Demogorgon's going to have some fun.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. We're going to take a break. I'll be back.
Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the Conspiracy Hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
In need of financial information that can change your life? Then you need to listen to the Pastor's Hour to Empower each and every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock here on WGNU. Hosted by Minister Ernest Greenlee, Reverend James Willoughby, Mr. Rabbani, Miss Daisy, and Doc Brown. It's designed to provide solutions to the needs of the people, the church, pastors, seniors, youth, and the community at large. Remember, your life does have value. All you need to do is unlock the potential. Find out how on the Pastor's Hour to Empower every Tuesday night at 8 here on AM 920 WGNU. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Shadows are falling all over town. Another night in these blues got me down. Oh, misery, I sure could use some company.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to attend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Do you know who started the slogan, No Child Left Behind?
I believe it was the Miriam Edelman in her organization, and now I've forgotten the name of it, but no, Marion Wright Edelman.
Marion Wright Edelman.
Mm-hmm. In fact, they started to sue Boy George for stealing the phrase.
Because so many people think they the Republicans started that, and I thought I had read somebody else started that.
Mm-hmm. Marion Wright Edelman.
Now, where is she from?
She's from Washington, D.C. She has this organization, and the name is escaping me, that has been around for decades. Improving the lives of children. And the name is escaping me.
And was it in reference to black children that it was started?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if the state going to take over the public schools?
Here's what I know for a fact what the state is going to do. I don't know for a fact. I don't think anybody knows for a fact because there's so many things that have to occur before that is to happen. But here are some of the things I do know for a fact. The state doesn't want to run St. Louis Public Schools, okay? I also know that the state doesn't want to have to pay the St. Louis Public Schools the tens of millions of dollars that it owes the St. Louis Public Schools as a result of the wrongful calculation out of the DSAG program. The state owes the district tens of millions of dollars, and if the district is taken over by a three-member board, then the state, then that lawsuit will be dropped, and the state won't have to pay that. That's one of the energies behind this quick push. Also, I know that in order for a three-person board to take over the St. Louis Public Schools, there has to be a legislative change. And I know that a legislative change is not going to be quickly coming, forthcoming. Okay? I know that there are a lot of people out there that want that money. I know that there are a lot of people out there that have that concern and interest and want the money in the district. The answer to whether or not it's going to happen, I don't know. But I do know that it was a huge win last week when they had the meeting up there and Kent King didn't have enough votes to vote on the three-person panel to take over the board. They didn't have enough votes, and that's a big deal. Because given how fast they were trying to move this train, given their financial interests, given their political desire to make this happen, all the stars were in line. I mean, all the stars should have been in line for them to have their way, and they did not have their way. It's a big deal. And also, I know for a fact that there's an election that will be held in April. I know for a fact that after that election that Veronica O'Brien will not be the president of the board. I know for a fact. The numbers are just not going to be there. So, that will change the energy and the comments that you hear coming out of the district. And also the places where the cameras will place their microphone. And I think that Veronica O'Brien, given the fact that she has spent so much time talking to people, has really done us a favor, because people have been able to assess and feel the time, that the temperament, the mental state of Veronica O'Brien, and they've judged accordingly.
I wonder if she's trying to help Slay, because he's the one that wanted her.
No, I don't think so at all. I think Veronica is too much of a self-serving loose cannon for that. It's about her having her way. Okay? And it just so happens that on this particular side of the issue, Frances Slay would benefit from it. I don't think she is too much of a lot, because she voted. There are some things that happen because she was mad at Frances Slay. The votes that we got out of her was because she was mad at Frances Slay. Now she's mad at somebody else and she was Frances Slay. No, it's not that deep.
Okay.
Okay, Pam?
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. Vernon.
Yes, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just had a little note of observation, really. Yesterday, we were honoring Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, national holiday, right?
Correct.
You notice not a single organization of any credit invited George W. Bush to speak. So what does he do? He goes to a Washington high school. First thing he does is grab a little young black girl and have her get his arm around her, hug her like he's one of the boys, and tell them they can honor Dr. Martin Luther King by giving back to the community. What is he giving to the world?
Well, you know, where was it? He had an opportunity to honor and giving back to the community and going to Vietnam, didn't he? And he made certain that he didn't go. He could give back to the community by sending his daughters over to the war that he started. He hadn't given back like that, has he? That's galling. That is the ultimate gall for Boy George, who has never given to society. It's always been in the receive mode.
And it always everyone else must do, but he doesn't have to.
There you go.
Okay, Liz, you have a good day.
Thank you, Vern. I think that's a great observation. Poor Boy George couldn't find a place that wanted to have him speak on the birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Couldn't find one person. One person. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. So he knew he could go snag a public school. They couldn't say no to him. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Prince Carter, good morning.
He could give back to the victims of Hurricane Katrina, but he ain't doing that either.
Nope.
Liz, you know, how can any elected official coin the phrase, no child left behind, and they're constantly cutting the budgets to fund the educational structure for these children?
Mm.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I woke up this morning, I came in on the tail end of a story on one of the CNN or somebody. I was wondering, did you know anything about it? They were saying something about a CIA agent that was fired during the time of the invasion of Iraq because he wouldn't falsify some documents or something. They wouldn't give his name. They labeled him as Doe.
Mm.
And I said, man, that should be, you know, big news. That should be, you know, really dissected. I can't find anything on the Internet about that, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. Liz, I wanted to say that it's a shame that people that are supposedly hired to serve and protect the community would have the guts to get on the radio and make a buffoon of themselves and remove all doubt and affirm and add validity to the things that's being said about the races in the corrupt police department of the city of St. Louis. I think that those individuals need to really take a moment and listen to the tape and the things that they say before they come on these radios and try to...
I'm not really interested in talking about other people and their shows, because I think for the fact of the matter is, Prince, is you and I both know, you and I both know that the city of St. Louis has police officers that are racist, police officers that are lawless, police officers that are murderers, police officers that are batterers, police officers that are substance abusers, police officers that within the police department you have the same range of personality and crime as you do outside of the police department. And what is special to the city of St. Louis, given who the current police chief is with Joe Mokwa, we have an atmosphere and a climate that allows those that have these facets to their personality, these facets of part of their being, these people feel emboldened to just unbuckle their belt and let their belly all the way out.
And Liz, having said all that, if you really think about it, this is a time now, more so than ever, that the citizens of the community must unite, stand together, and stand up against these wicked things that's been inflicted upon this community by this police department.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many things that people need to be doing. And one of my ways of dealing with this is the public pressure of this, the public education of this, and also the political response to this.
Liz, I hope and pray that every citizen within the community eliminates the notion from their mind that it's been done so long as nothing can be done about it. There are a number of things that can be done, but they can only be done when people in the community unite and stand together and speak out and stand up against these wicked things.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. There is someone that is fighting back. We're going to have on the show this morning Bert Sachs. Fined $10,000 for traveling to Iraq to bring medicine to the Iraqi children. Huh? He's challenging this charge in the Supreme Court. Stay with us.
Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino,
that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Jury selection begins today in the trial of Louis Libby, the former chief of staff to Vice President Cheney, is at the center of a CIA leak case, the outing of a former agent whose husband challenged the Bush administration on Iraq.
After 3 years of investigation, this is the only case that will go to trial. Scooter Libby is not accused of actually leaking the name of CIA operative Valerie Plame. Another official later admitted doing that. Instead, Libby claims he was so busy with world affairs, he forgot important contacts when interviewed by investigators. His former boss, Dick Cheney, will be the first vice president in history to testify in a criminal case. He calls Scooter Libby an honest man. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
That nice mild winter many of us have enjoyed has given way to shoveling. ABC's Eric Hong has more.
Across more than a dozen states, nature's icy grip is tightening. In Oklahoma, slick roads have killed at least 15 people, including seven passengers in one minivan who died in an accident over the weekend. In Missouri, 3 nights of freezing rain have left trees and power lines coated in ice. More than 300,000 customers lost power, and it could be a couple more days before all the lights are back on.
The cold front has pushed east. It's also causing problems for California farmers like Henry Vega.
We've got about 1,000 workers that we employ at peak season, somewhere between January and July. And I would say we're probably going to be affected. At least 30% of that is probably not going to be employed.
Up to three-quarters of the state's citrus crop has been destroyed. He's good? Yes. The Hollywood Foreign Press liked Borat, giving the movie star Sacha Baron Cohen the Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy Movie.
The movie is mocking Borat's beliefs. All his beliefs seem laughable, whether he's homophobic or misogynistic or anti-Semitic.
This is ABC News.
Feels like I get this same cold every year. So I got the same nighttime medicine I always get. But I was congested all night, so it wasn't the same.
Many cold medicines have changed. NyQuil Cold Flu Relief no longer has a decongestant. New Tylenol Cold Nighttime does. It helps relieve more of your worst cold symptoms. And it helps you sleep. It's one more step towards a pain-free world. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Cold. Take only as directed.
Attention ambulance chasers, politicians, and steroid users. Allow us to introduce Office Max Impress, an exciting new way to improve your image with high-quality print and document services inside your local Office Max store. That's right, banjo players, carnies, and repo men. Office Max Impress can do custom binding, color printing, large quantity print jobs, whatever it takes to help overhaul your aura. So cheer up, prison guards, prison escapees, and hotel heiresses named for famous European cities, because Office Max Impress can turn your image problem into an image solution.
Another beauty queen has been forced to give up her crown. Here's ABC's Sherry Preston.
Miss USA pageant owner Donald Trump announced last month that current Miss USA Tara Conner could stay.
Tara is going to be given a second chance.
Even though the 20-year-old had been spotted partying at several New York City bars. Miss Nevada USA had to turn in her crown, though, when racy pictures of her appeared on the internet. Now Miss New Jersey USA is also stepping aside. Ashley Harder's issue, she's going to have a baby. The pageant is due in March. Harder is due this summer. Miss USA rules clearly state no pregnant contestants. The first runner-up in New Jersey will assume the title. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Well, you never know about anything until you ask. A 10-year-old Girl Scout is sure glad she approached comedian Ellen DeGeneres. She asked her if she'd buy some cookies to help her troop pay for a trip to New York. DeGeneres didn't just buy some cookies. She bought 1,000 boxes. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, many area residents are without power after the weekend ice storms. Less than 40,000 Ameren customers are still in the dark as crews work around the clock to restore power to affected areas. An Ameren spokesman said that out-of-state workers were called on Friday afternoon before the storm hit. Ameren has set a timetable to get power back to customers, and they plan to have everyone's power back on by Wednesday. Barack Obama may announce a bid for the presidency soon. The Illinois senator appeared on CBS's Face the Nation show on Sunday and said that he's still considering whether to run. Obama is considered an early favorite for the Democratic nomination. A senior aide recently told potential supporters that word of his plans could come as early as this week. Finally this hour, former Blue Ladislav Nagy scored the deciding goal in a shootout to give the Coyotes a 5-4 win over the Blues last night in Phoenix. The Blues' Peter Sezna scored his first goal of the season late in the game to tie the score and send the game into overtime. While the Notes' three-game winning streak was snapped, they did earn a point to tie them with the Chicago Blackhawks in the standings. The Blues continue their road trip tonight in Anaheim against the Mighty Ducks at 9 o'clock. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 55 at Highway Z and Highway M, there's an accident on left shoulder. It's at mile marker 183. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing looks good. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street to the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got some delays there going on as well. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and Big Bend, look for some slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason and Spady through McKnight, look for delays. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through 79, you can expect slow traffic. And northbound 55 at Arsenal and 44 is on the move, but is starting to stack up. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road, look for some delays. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Kings Highway through Shreve, look for traffic building due to a disabled vehicle that's on the ramp to Shreve, but it's not blocking anything. And west or northbound 270 onto the 70 exits, look for delays in those right lanes. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies, highs in the mid-20s. This evening, colder, mostly clear, low around 10. Wednesday, not quite as cold, mostly sunny, high in the upper 30s. Then on Thursday, partly sunny skies are expecting a heat wave of 40 degrees. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 15 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 14. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 2. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. themselves.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. And if you want to email me, do that. revolution@lizbrown.com or call me at 1-877-920-WGNU. It seems as if there are just so many ways that we can evaluate this occupation of Iraq. We can evaluate it in terms of the cost to American citizens, trillions of dollars. We can talk about it, evaluate it from the perspective of lost services to the citizens, the taxpayers. Here in the United States of America, billions and billions and billions of dollars. We can talk about it in the measurement of injuries that our soldier boys and girls have incurred as a result of this occupation. Thousands and thousands and thousands of them. We can talk about it, calculate it, measure it, evaluate it from the perspective of lost families. We can talk about it, evaluate it, measure it from the perspective of lost lives. And all of those examples that I have just given are reflections of an American sensibility, an exclusively American sensibility. Because that's all about our stuff and our loss. When we get outside of the borders of the United States of America and begin to evaluate this wicked occupation of Iraq, aside from the relationships that were the destroyed relationship, the tortured relationships, the diminished relationships that have occurred with our allies and friends as a result of this occupation. That's fine. That's political. That's not touchable, tangible. But how about getting on over to Iraq, because we brag so hard. This administration brags so hard about all the wonderful things that were going to happen to the Iraqi people as a result of our occupation and preemptive strike on that country. Since they said that, we need to ask, so how's it working out for them? How's it working out for the Iraqi people? Iraqi children. I'm going to be talking about that with Bert Sachs, who can speak very specifically about, well, how are the children in Iraq as a result of us being there? Stay with me.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and the number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. This morning we are having a conversation with Bert Sachs. Bert Sachs is joining us from Washington, D.C., and he's going to be holding a press conference today in Washington, D.C. Bert, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Tired.
I imagine so. Bert, you're going to be holding a press conference today in Washington, D.C. around 1 or 2 o'clock. Why?
For about 10 years or more, I've been concerned when I first realized by reading a New England Journal of Medicine article about what's happening, as you mentioned, to the children particularly, but in truth to all the civilians in Iraq during the 12 years of economic sanctions. And just to make it clear, it's not only the sanctions, but in the Gulf War, when we designed how we were going to fight the Gulf War, I think it's pretty clear that we intended right from 91 to make conditions so difficult, so unlivable for the Iraqi people that we would depose Saddam Hussein. And we did that by bombing the electrical plants up and down the country, way far away from Kuwait, not the transmission lines, but the electrical plants. Meant there was no way to pump water and process sewage. So the New England Journal told me, there were epidemics of waterborne disease, cholera, typhoid, dysentery, and most terribly, simple diarrhea, especially for the people that lived downstream of Baghdad, who had to drink what was really sewage water from the Tigris River. And this went on for 12 years, compounded by the economic sanctions the U.S. insisted on. We did it as a means to try and depose Saddam Hussein. I'm glad to give you evidence of all of this, but after having dealt with the media, gone to Iraq 9 times, I decided that the best way to try and get this information out was to ask to be fined. So I went to, I'll tell you a funny story if I may. I went to the U.S. federal office and spoke to this nice woman who was the federal attorney who would report to Janet Reno during the Clinton administration. And I said, would you fine me for bringing medicines to Iraq? And she's a nice woman, smiled at me and looked at me and said, well, I won't do that for you, because she's a political animal as well as a legal one. But I kept at it. And finally, it took a lot of years, but in 2002, I received a fine for traveling to Iraq to bring medicines.
What administration blessed you with this fine, if we will?
You're very right. It was George W. Bush. And
why did I know that? Why did I know that he wouldn't, that his administration wouldn't have a problem?
You must be a very perspicacious interviewer.
So they find you in 2002.
Yep.
So you got what you were seeking.
Yep.
Then what happened?
Well, 2002, I had my only other press conference here in Washington, D.C. And there's a fellow, Charlie Pope, who's the correspondent for the Seattle Hearst newspaper, the PI. And he interviewed me, and it was a good interview, except for the first line. The first line said, "He looks like everyone's favorite grandfather." I'm not so sure I got used to that line. But the title of the front page story was U.S. versus Bert Sachs's Principles on Iraq. And he quoted me and got to say all the things I wanted to say on a front page story. And as a result of that, a couple lawyers in Seattle came to me from a big law firm and said, "Would you like free legal advice?" I said, "You betcha." And so we had that as a basis to take this into district court, then Ninth Circuit Appeals Court, and finally we're going to make a petition to the Supreme Court, and I'm glad to talk more about the legal side of this, but essentially it's the question that you, I think, put, or somebody said, it's in my press release, can we legally kill 500,000 children, which is the estimate from UNICEF in 1999? Can we do that legally?
And you've written an article on this, the challenge to the Supreme Court, can the United States kill Iraqi children legally? And you give this you start the article off with the paragraph that kind of illustrates exactly the question that you are posing to the United States Supreme Court. Can you share that with us? Okay, go right ahead.
The two paragraphs come from the Seattle Times newspaper, and I had some part in actually getting them in there. And in the pile of papers I have here, I'm looking to find out where I have them.
Do you mind if I go ahead and read it?
Please do it.
Okay. Imagine if a U.S. cruise missile were to land on a kindergarten and kill 165 children. Imagine now that it was launched knowing that it would hit that kindergarten, and further, that one of these missiles was launched at a different kindergarten every day for a month. That's 5,000 children. To kill that many children as a matter of state policy would be unspeakable. The American commander-in-chief would be condemned as a barbarian, and yet this is what the economic embargo of Iraq has done. So you decided not to ask the question about how barbaric this is, but is this legal? Were the sanctions legal?
Right, that's right.
And in terms of the question of sanctions, has sanction, the word sanction, been defined? Does sanctions include going outside of the so-called target and bombing electrical facilities?
Well, there are what are called rules of war, and if you go outside of those rules, then you're committing a war crime. And the rules of war stipulate that you have to target military targets. And if there are civilians who will be hurt or killed as a result, you have to do two things. You have to discriminate as much as you can between the military and the civilian targets. That is, you can't use a huge bomb to kill a small number of military people who are at the outskirts of a city and kill, you know, many times more civilians. And the second thing is you have to try and use weapons that both discriminate and are proportionate to the target. So you can't use white phosphorus on an entire city because there's a stronghold of some insurgents in the city, for example. Now, bombing electrical plants, I contend, violate both of those principles. And there are things the military could have done much more easily simply to shut off electricity if they contended that was a military necessity. But the sanctions now, if you think about those, there are different kinds of sanctions. There are sanctions that can be called specific or targeted sanctions that focus on the leadership of a country and say you're not allowed to travel outside the country or your bank accounts are frozen. But what we imposed were the most comprehensive total sanctions on an entire country. And what that meant was Iraq, whose major source of foreign income was selling of oil, of course, that we said you can't sell any oil at all for 6 years, and then after 6 years we said you can sell a very small amount of oil under the Oil for Food program. I'll talk more about that later. But what that amounted to essentially was the same thing we used to call a blockade, a siege. In fact, a military siege is a very, very old form of warfare. And up until World War I, these kinds of sanctions were considered a form of war. And the thing about the sanctions is that they target an entire population. They don't discriminate. They specifically target the civilian part of the population. And when they are as extensive and lethal following the bombing that I just described, what they do is they kill, according to New England Journal, 5,860 children every month in those first 8 months of 91. Now, I contend that to do that is to be part of a war crime. And that's part of what we've been arguing. We also violate the Geneva Convention, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, customary international law, and arguably even genocide.
Isn't part of the question and the proof that needs to take place with this argument is the knowledge on the part of the United States that what they were doing actually would do what it did?
Uh-huh. Yes, exactly. What you need to do legally, there are statutes called the Rome Statutes that describe this. You need to prove that the person who acted knew what they were doing first, that they were acting to bomb the plants or that they knew they were going to impose the sanctions. And then you have to prove either that they intended the children to die or that they reasonably should know the children would die if this was happening. Well, don't the people in the administration read the New England Journal of Medicine? Don't they hear UNICEF reports? They certainly do. I have statements from a congressman, Senator Craig, who said, using starvation to starve populations into submission is bad policy. Well, maybe bad policy. Is it legal? That's my question. And we have knowledge that people in the State Department, and Madeleine Albright, oh, this is a great, terrible, awful statement, appeared on 60 Minutes in 1996 when she was still our ambassador to the United Nations. And Ms. Albright, at that time, was asked by Leslie Stahl, I'll give you the exact quote. It's rather famous for those people that are working on this issue. Leslie Stahl said to her, we've heard that 500,000 children have died in Iraq. That's more children than died in Hiroshima. You know, is it worth the price? And Madeleine Albright looked right back, and she said, we think it's a very difficult decision, but yes, we think it's worth the price.
Jesus. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. Bert Sachs, joining us from Washington, D.C., raising the question, can the U.S. kill Iraqi children legally? My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 40 at Timberlake Manor Mason, stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got a lot of delays on the bridge this morning. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass all the way through 270. It's rolling, but not very well. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry through Big Bend. Expect big delays around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect delays there. Northbound 55 at Arsenal and 44, look for some slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit through mid-span. You can expect some delays rolling into Laclede's Landing. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. You've got some delays there as well. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant starting build this hour. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 255, 270 interchange. Look for some delays there. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. You've got some delays there as well as westbound 270 or northbound 270 at the door 70 exit because of the right exit lanes. You can expect some delays there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high in the mid-20s. This evening, cold and mostly clear with a low around 10. For Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high only in the upper 30s. And Thursday, partly sunny skies, high around 40. Currently, we have 15 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 14. The wind chill still makes it feel like it's 2, so bundle up if you're headed outside this morning. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's riveting talk radio right here on WGNU with Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This new year, put meeting the love of your life at the top of your list.
New Year's Eve day, I said, I'm ready for eHarmony. I decided I really wanted to find a long-term relationship.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. There's no experience more magical than falling in love with that one person in the world that sees you, accepts you, and loves you passionately for who you really are.
He loves me for me.
She sees me more for who I really am.
Being seen and loved for who I am is incredible.
eHarmony helped me find the love of my life.
Make this the year that it happens for you. Check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your personality profile free. Let's get started finding your soulmate today. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Butterfly, I sting like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna bring me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive. I can't sweat it, know I got to get it. I'm the.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My conversation this morning is with Bert Sachs, and Bert Sachs is raising the question of whether or not it was legal for the United States to have knowingly caused the deaths of Iraqis, especially the hundreds of thousands of Iraqi children who died from unsafe water during sanctions. Bert, welcome back. As a person in the media and a person that does a lot of research and reads a lot of papers and magazines, etc., out here trying to get to the bottom of this story, tell us about how this story was reported. I mean, 500,000 dead Iraqi babies. Where did the story come from, and how were the papers and the newspapers reporting it?
That's a great question. The number 500,000 comes from the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, probably the most credible international organization for children in the world. They did a survey in Iraq. It was done extensively over the period of time before they issued the report, and it covered 1991 to 1998. When that report was issued on August 12, 1999, it was covered by, if you think of it, basically a handful of people. Barbara Crosset did a front page story in the New York Times. Edith Lederer did the Associated Press story, and somebody covered it in the Wall Street Journal. I'll tell you how those reports went out. Barbara Crosset's story of something like 700-800 words on the front page.
This is on the front. Wait a minute, Bert. This is on the front page of the New York Times.
That's right, and it did not mention that statistic. It said UNICEF has reported a 3.1 times increase in child mortality. Well, unless you're an epidemiologist and know other basic statistics, that doesn't tell you what you need to know. But the simple thing anyone can understand is 500,000 dead children. It's not mentioned there. It's not mentioned in either of the Seattle newspapers that printed the AP wire service story. And the Wall Street Journal covered the entire report in two sentences, basically saying 3.1 increase in mortality, and it's all Saddam's fault. Basically what Barbara Crosset says in the New York Times in 700 words. Further, if you think you might hear, if you turned on your television news, friends of mine who study the transcripts from the three major networks over the next 90 days didn't find a single mention of the report. That is, 500,000 deaths was not reported on ABC, CBS, or NBC.
No, 500,000 children.
That's right, children's deaths. We don't really have good statistics on those over five, but one might assume that elderly and weak and sick people, we might be talking of another 500,000 Iraqi civilian deaths.
So the newspapers are not reporting it. Is the military trying to keep the information from us about why they did this? Are there any statements from the military about, we did this because this was, we knew this was a long-term plan to kill him like this?
Oh, actually there is, and nobody, and I don't imagine for a minute that the colonels in the U.S. Air Force who write this in U.S. Air Force Air Power, and I can give your listeners the link in just a second, I don't believe that they sat down at their desks in the Pentagon and say, let's see, how can we kill more Iraqi children? I don't believe that.
But they don't have, but
I do believe.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, what I do believe is that these Pentagon planners said, what can we do that will give the U.S. State Department and the U.S. government the leverage to force Iraq to do what we want them to do? And what we wanted them to do, James Baker III said this, is depose Saddam Hussein. He said that way back in May of 91. Well, the military planners, in particular, there's one named Colonel Kenneth Risser, has a piece from, I think, 2001. If your listeners want to go to concernforiraq.org/infrastructure, they can get the link to his article where he says, by hitting the electrical plants, we caused indirectly 100,000 civilian deaths. Now, that's his number. It's probably 10 times that. But he says at the bottom, should the U.S. Air Force do this? And he believes the Air Force can do this legally because it's indirectly killing. And he says it has the effect, the good effect, he thinks, of, quote, undermining civilian morale, quote.
Now, if the desired outcome is to undermine the morale of the citizens, kind of like a paper propaganda piece, is that legitimate when there are people that are dying as a result of that?
Well, whatever your intention, to knowingly kill civilians is a crime. We call it murder.
Mm.
You know, I don't doubt that these planners had intentions other than that he's just described. But I would make two points. One is, legally, can you do it? And I've been arguing for all the reasons I've given that you can't. And the second is, practically, what happens when you do that to a country? Do people become more submissive, more compliant, or do they become more desperate, more violent, more angry, and less welcoming to you when you invade the country. Well, what, you know, that's a pretty clear experiment that we've done already, and what are the results? We don't talk about the 12 years before we invaded, but the whole point of my press conference is to remind people that what we did for 12 years has a major impact on how we would be welcomed when we invaded.
And Americans seem to have a very short memory, because if understanding that what we did 12 years before would makes ridiculous the statement that we would be welcomed as liberators.
There's a great, I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary called Control Room. It's a good, people can rent it. It's very good. It covers the media coverage before the war, including particularly Al Jazeera. And there's a reporter from Al Jazeera named Yusuf Ibrahim. He's a big, strong, forceful guy. And I like him because, I'll tell you why I like him. I like him because he says what I was saying, which is, look at, the British troops that came from Kuwait couldn't get into Basra in the first week of the war. Well, Basra is the city filled with Shiites who were slaughtered by Saddam Hussein after 91 and who were most mistreated. If there's any city that welcomed people with open arms, you'd think it would be Basra. And the British couldn't get in. They were fought. Well, that tells you something right away in the first week of the war. It's not the story we have that, well, sure, we mismanaged Iraq after we invaded. That's absolutely true. But what had we done before? We betrayed those same Shiites when we allowed Saddam to overfly them with helicopters and kill them during the end of the Gulf War.
And they haven't forgotten that.
You bet you they haven't. We might have, but they
haven't. Yeah, they haven't forgotten that. Right. Bert, what did you see when you went to Iraq and you took this 10,000, or you took these tens of thousands of dollars for medical supplies? What did you see?
Well, Liz, I tell you, it's really hard to convey the horror what you see when you go into a hospital and you see these little infants, a few months old or a few years old, who are so dehydrated and so skin and bones, you know, who are dying. And you don't have, I mean, we brought antibiotics, but they didn't have them there. They didn't have even aspirins, painkillers, because the sanctions didn't allow them to sell enough oil to be able to do that. It came to 50 cents a day overall for the whole period. Well, you see these children, and you know that you are privileged. You come in with bottled water. These are children in Basra really don't have much choice, and they're poor families often, and you see them dying and you think, that's just awful. My God, how can we be so indifferent to the fate of such a people simply because they're Arabs or because they're Iraqis? They're not Saddam Hussein. These little 1 month and 1 year old babies are not Saddam Hussein, and yet we behaved as if they were.
And the things that they needed were so simple, right?
Oh, we brought that trip that I was fined for, $40,000 worth of medicines. There was some antibiotics, some aspirin. You should have seen the look on the pharmacist at the Archbishop's office. They were giving out these medicines freely to anyone in the community in Basra that needed them. And boy, you know, he knew what we knew, that this was going to save a number of dozens of lives. But 195 kids were dying every day. That's excess deaths above what the death rate was in 1990. And, you know, you do what you can. You save people. I'm here in D.C., you know. I meet some homeless people on the streets. I give them a buck or two or five even. Because you do what you can, and it's good to do what you can. But it's also good to talk about what creates the conditions that make this possible.
We
need to change those conditions.
Bert, you're not a doctor, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
What made you decide to go to begin with?
Another good question. I tell you, well, I think part of it has to do with the fact that I was raised Jewish. And I always heard growing up the question, where were the good Germans? Germany was doing what they did to the Jews. And the Jews are a Semite people. And now the Arabs are a Semite people. And I think the worst form of anti-Semitism we have in our country is prejudice against Arabs. And when I first learned about this, I said, I just can't put it out of my mind. And I went over, and I went over with a group. I want to give credit to the two groups that I work with, because I don't think would have gone over on my own. What's this nice Jewish boy going over to Baghdad with medicines? But there are two groups, Voices in the Wilderness, which is now no longer in existence, but there's a website, Voices for Creative Nonviolence, vcnv.org. And the other group has been wonderful in Seattle area. It's part of a national, international group of doctors and anyone who wants to join, called Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility, WPSR.org. And they feel the same way I did. Doctors have an obligation not to cause civilian deaths as a way of coercion, to prevent those deaths. And those people came up to the plate and really did good work.
I'm talking to Bert Sachs. Bert Sachs is holding a press conference today. He is raising a question. Is it legal for the United States to have knowingly caused the deaths of Iraqis, especially the hundreds of thousands of children, Iraqi children, who died from unsafe water during the sanctions, U.S.-enforced sanctions? My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back to continue this conversation with Bert Sachs. Stay with us.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes. But really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. My guest this hour is Bert Sachs. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., where he will be holding a press conference today around 1 o'clock in Washington, D.C., to address the legality. Can the United States kill Iraqi children legally? Bert, you went to Iraq about, 8 times? Explain to us what the charge is against you. Is it illegal to take medicine to Iraq? What's the charge?
I was fined for traveling to Iraq, having travel-related expenses. The funding organization called Office of Foreign Assets Control said, even though the purpose of going there was to bring $40,000 in medicines, it's also illegal to bring medicines unless you get a government license during the sanctions period. And the other group, Voices in the Wilderness, that I was a part of, was fined also $120,000 for bringing medicine specifically without having a license.
Is that one of the reasons why they're no longer here?
That's correct.
So there are several reasons or several things that our government was trying to kill with these sanctions. You can make the argument.
It's a really interesting thing. I think we all can recognize our own tendency to want to hear news that supports or any information that supports the views we already have, and to tend to want to discredit and turn away from information that contradicts things we believe. And a real test, why I left science, it's why I studied to be an engineer, is also why I went to a court of law. There really, you can say, a personal obligation to try and commit knowing what's true, no matter where it leads you. And I don't think that our government is any exception to the rule that they want to discredit things that contradict their policies. And unfortunately, I think they can also use rather unscrupulous methods to try and do that. And it's our job as citizens to try and get the information, and the Internet and the fact that news is becoming internationalized is a help for us. We can go read Robert Fisk in The Independent, for example.
It's a lot
into Democracy Now! on the radio.
It's a lot different than it was in 1992.
Yeah.
1952. Now, Bert, what is it that you're holding this press conference today? You're filing this lawsuit. What is it what is it that you want out of this lawsuit? What is it that you would like to see the courts decide as a result of this? And are you hoping for some kind of punishment as a result of this? And who would be punished for this?
Okay. The first question, I'm hoping for two things. I'm hoping the Supreme Court will accept the petition, they're not required to, and be willing to bring into the sphere where rules of evidence have to govern the question that I ask, can we legally do these things? I would be very surprised if the question, can we legally deny habeas corpus to anyone in the world if we choose to? That almost certainly, I think, is going to reach the Supreme Court. I'd like this case to also. Besides that, a lot of this will be tried in the court of public opinion. That's why I'm talking to you, and that's why I've written opinion pieces and will continue to do my small part about this. And finally, on your last question, I think the most, I'm a big fan of Martin Luther King. Oh, I wanted to read one quote, if I may, from his letter from Birmingham jail. Everyone knows that, but I'd never read the whole thing before. Here's what Martin Luther King said. We should never forget that everything Adolf Hitler did in Germany was, quote, legal.
Was, quote, legal, right.
And absolutely. Everything the Hungarian freedom fighters did in Hungary was, quote, illegal.
That's
so,
right.
I think the principle of nonviolence, if I can take a minute more to try and talk about that.
Certainly.
Okay. I think what that requires is that we change the way we who want peace in the world look out at people that are doing bad things. Now, I think our government, Madeleine Albright and Bill Clinton, as much as George W. Bush and the current administration, or George H.W. Bush and James Baker III, have done really bad things to the people of Iraq. I think it's my job, if I'm committed to nonviolence, not to see them with anger, to see them as struggling human beings who also want to be happy. I'm basically quoting the Dalai Lama, who tries to teach, tries to model that kind of behavior. So we don't end up with the cycle of simply deciding who the bad guys are and then going out and arguing over who they are and then how do we kill them. And that's obviously the cycle of violence that we're engaged in, where we see them as the bad guys and they see us as the bad guys. And if we can change that, not denying that bad things have been done and not denying that we shouldn't have jails to protect the people that do it and to protect society, but realistically, we'll do those things, but we won't do them with hatred. We won't do them with anger. And I just quoted the Dalai Lama. Here's another quote, which I think is remarkable, and then I can stop about this. This is a quote. I call on you not to hate, because hate does not leave space for a person to be fair, and it makes you blind and closes all doors of thinking. I also call on you not to hate the people of other countries that attacked us. Do you know who said that?
Who said it?
You want to guess?
No. Who said it?
It's hard to imagine somebody more different than the Dalai Lama, but that was said by Saddam Hussein in his last email message to the Iraqi people. It was in the Associated Press story. I saw it on USA Today.
Mm.
That's stunning. That here's a man who is guilty of such human rights abuses, who teaches, who says we shouldn't hate because it blinds us. That's just what happens. And cultivating hatred for Saddam Hussein is what has allowed us to commit this major crime against the Iraqi people.
A constant cultivation of hate against Saddam Hussein. So what? So what is it, Bert? What do you want to see happen?
Well, out there in the world, I want to do my small part to try and change how we act, try and prevent another war with Iran, try and change attitudes in the country. And what I've discovered over 10 years of doing this is in the process of trying to do that and do it wisely, I change myself and I become more peaceful. And I really want to be happy and want to be peaceful, like we all do. Those are the two things I'd like.
Should anybody go to jail?
Should anybody go to jail?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I think there are a couple reasons people should go to jail. I think if they need to, society needs to be protected from them.
No, I mean in this case, should anybody,
in this case,
should anybody go to jail?
I would actually leave that for the courts to decide, but I think that there should be a ruling in a court of law that we have committed major war crimes, violated major legal principles, and that that should be stated clearly. And then what the next action should be, I would leave to the courts to decide.
And
I'd love to get that far.
And truly. And, Bert, where can people find out more about your fight here?
Thank you. I think maybe the easiest is to go to my blog, which is BertOnIraq.blogspot.com. I'll spell that. It's BERT.blogspot. I'm sorry, Bert, BERT, onIraq.blogspot.com.
Bert Sachs, thank you so much. Your press conference is at what time today?
1 o'clock.
Very good. Very good. Good luck, and thank you so much. Listen,
bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back in the next hour to take your calls and comments. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we will be talking about the bombing of Somalia. Why are we there? You're going to find out in the next or in the 9 o'clock hour. That's why they call it Riveting Radio. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The schools in Maine today are closed. It's because of the snow, and they're pretty used to that stuff there. This is the same system, though, that's iced over the Midwest and the Plain States, and they're still digging out. ABC's Mike Von Fram trying to stay warm in Oklahoma City.
The massive storm system has now pushed into New England, closing schools this morning and coating streets with snow. In the Midwest, hundreds of thousands remain without power, and members of the National Guard will again be going door-to-door, checking in on the most vulnerable.
The cold's also squeezing the California citrus crop. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
Up to 70% of California citrus crop may have already been destroyed. Citrus grower Joel Nelson says it'll take some time before they can make a full assessment.
It takes a while botanically for this fruit to start showing the decay and damage.
In 1998, when freezing cold caused $700 million in lost citrus crops, some California farmers were criticized for shipping damaged products. Fruit packer Kevin Severin says that won't happen this time.
We're really trying to make an effort to pull together as an industry.
But the concern is this freeze will cause an even bigger loss. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The cold also gave the actresses on the red carpet at the Golden Globe Awards an extra accessory: goosebumps. The big winner last night? Dreamgirls. The Hollywood Foreign Press named it the best musical or comedy. Eddie Murphy won for Best Supporting Actor, and Jennifer Hudson Best Supporting Actress. Jury selection begins in about a half an hour from now in the trial of Louis Libby. Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff is accused of leaking the name of a former CIA agent whose husband challenged the White House on Iraq. More from ABC's Ann Compton.
The investigation into the Battery plane leak ran 3 years. Scooter Libby is the only figure indicted and going to trial, and he is not charged with leaking her name. A State Department official, Richard Armitage, later confirmed he was the source.
This is ABC News.
Order! Order in the court!
It's time to render your decision. You've made up your mind, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and everyone's hanging on your every word.
I should have used Preparation H. Quick recess!
Where's he going?
You should carry Preparation H portable wipes, the discreet way to get big relief. They're convenient little packets that hold very big wipes, so you can cleanse, cool, and soothe to get relief even when you're not at home.
Order! Now, my decision.
Preparation H portable wipes. Big relief to go. Uses directed.
Attention liars, cheaters, and tow truck operators. Allow us to introduce Office Max Impress, an exciting new way to improve your image with high-quality print and document services inside your local Office Max store. That's right, meter maids, music pirates, and regular pirates. Perceptions will change when you've got professionally crafted invitations, signs, and banners from Office Max Impress, all implying one thing: I'm a winner. So buck up, tax evaders, tax collectors, slime balls, and sleazebags, because Office Max Impress can turn your image problem into an image solution.
What's on the end of your leash? ABC's Karen Chase checked out the most popular dog breeds.
The top dog in America is the Labrador Retriever. It's the most popular dog in the country for the 16th straight year, according to the American Kennel Club's registration records for purebred pooches. Club officials say it's the consistent favorite because it loves to be with people and it's trainable, living up to the definition of man's best friend. The big surprise was the runner-up, the Yorkie. Probably because it's a celebrity favorite. Yorkie owners include Mariah Carey, Naomi Watts, and Tara Reid. Number three is the German Shepherd, followed by the Golden Retriever and the Beagle. Karen Chase, ABC News.
Well, maybe all you need to get your kids to eat fruit is to carbonate it. Yeah, like soda. That's the idea behind a new product called Fizzy Fruit. Whole grapes, apple slices, or pineapple chunks that are treated with a secret process that makes them bubble without added sugar. It's innovative, but hardly cheap. A 5-ounce cup is $2.50. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, area Amtrak trains have started running again. The train company says that trees and other debris have been cleared from the tracks in Missouri. Service was disrupted after trees were knocked down by the weight of the ice from the weekend storms and blocked tracks at several locations. Passengers were forced to find a place to stay or spend the weekend in the terminal. The Missouri Senate is planning to focus on the school districts in this legislative session. Senate President Michael Gibbons joined Senate Minority Leader Maida Coleman yesterday to talk about the need for a focused debate on the state's districts. St. Louis has been identified as one of 12 districts that are failing. Coleman said that the Senate will consider a set of bills aimed at education reform. Finally this hour, the Poplar Street Bridge will need more frequent repairs. The bridge was under construction for a good portion of last year. Missouri and Illinois officials say that the bridge and its approaches are entering middle age and will require substantial construction about every 2 years. Missouri owns the bridge, but the two states share the maintenance costs. With construction inflation at 21% in Illinois last year and 2% in Missouri, inspectors say the cost of keeping the aging bridge and its approaches in youthful shape will only continue to rise. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. A lot going on in traffic. Let's get to it. Westbound 270 between 367 and West Florissant. Stop and go traffic. Eastbound 364 at Maryland Heights and 270. There's an accident. Right lane is blocked. That's on ramps 270. Westbound 40 near 270 in Mason. Look for stalls cleared near Mason. Westbound 5570, 64 split through Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop and go traffic. Eastbound 44 at Moretz Overpass and 270. Look for delays. Northbound 270, Teston Ferry and Big Bend is stop and go. Eastbound 40, big tie up down in Boone's Crossing all the way through Timberlake Manor. An accident left lane, and that's just west of Timberlake Manor. So it's stop and go there. Westbound 40 between Illinois Kings Highway. Actually, westbound 64 between Illinois 111 Kings Highway and 10th Street. Look for an earlier accident cleared near 10th Street, but it's still delays going on there. Eastbound 70 from 94 through 5th Street. Expect slow traffic due to a disabled vehicle, and that's on the ramp to 5th Street. Also, eastbound 40 at Boone's Crossing and Timberlake Manor. That accident has now been cleared, but you can expect a whole lot of delays going on. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high in the mid-20s. This evening, mostly clear, colder with a low around 10. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 30s. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 16 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 15. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 3, so bundle up if you're going outside. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up next is more of Riveting Talk Radio with your host, Liz Brown, and the award-winning wake-up call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown, and you need to get up. You need to get to me, 1-877-920-WGNU. Looky. We have much business to tend to. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to the former spokesperson for the UN's mission in Iraq and a columnist for the Daily Nation in Kenya. Somalia, why are we there? Why are we bombing Somalia? And you know what? It's like somebody took a page out of the book of Iraq. We're going to be talking about why we're in Somalia right now, why this good government, our good government, is bombing the bejesus out of Somalia right now. That's in the next hour. We will be talking to Salim Lone. He is the former spokesperson for the UN mission in Iraq and a columnist for the Daily Nation in Kenya. Lord, we have so much business to tend to. Lord, we have so much business to tend to. Mary, good morning. Good morning, Mary. Mary. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. My name is Liz Brown, without the .com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I'll be back.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I thought you was taking guests in and I hung up. I only heard about 15 minutes of your last guest. His name was Bert, am I correct?
Yes.
He was one of the most... Hello?
Yes.
I thought he was one of the most concerned, kindest people I've ever heard on your show. I know that from my experiences. I have not had a lot of money, but I have a tendency to try to help people a lot that's less fortunate than I, and I have been accused occasionally of trying to buy friendship from people that I give things to sometimes. But if I was rich, I guess I would just give most of my money away. And I doubt it. I know I'll never be rich at my age now. But I really enjoyed him. And I wondered, how can I write in and get, was he on the whole hour, Liz?
Mary, yes, he was.
Well, I would like to buy that hour because I really enjoyed the 15 or 20 minutes that I heard.
All right.
You have a good day.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Yasir lives in Fallujah, Iraq. 10-year-old Yasir. He's a baby. He aimed a plastic gun at a passing U.S. armored patrol and shouted, "Bang, bang." Now, understand, this is a 10-year-old child. It was a plastic gun. He said, "Bang, bang." And the U.S. Armored Patrol rolled on by. Now, Yasir didn't know what was coming because he was 10. But his 12-year-old friend named Ahmed understood what was happening. He said, run, because the Americans were turning back. The American soldiers followed Yasser to his house, smashed almost everything in it. They beat Yasser and his uncle. Dr. Salim al-Dini, a psychotherapist visiting Fallujah, told the newspaper that the children in Iraq, because I want to continue with this theme that was we started with the conversation with Bert Sachs about the children in Iraq. They are terrified. And they're terrified of these disturbed soldiers. We are creating, this administration is creating monsters. And they're extending their stay. They are calling them surge now. And that's just another way to say that the National Reservists, who have no training, no desire, was not the plan that they go and engage in civil warfare in Iraq. We're turning our babies into killers. We're turning our babies into the killers of their babies. Dig this. Stephen D. Green, who is he? He is the army private charged with the slaughter of an Iraqi family. Let me just slaughter is not a big enough word to describe this. On March 12, 2006, intruders broke into a home of a family about 20 miles from Baghdad. The intruders killed the father, the mother, and the two young daughters. The older daughter was 14. She was raped and raped and raped again. They took turns with her. And then in their own sick, twisted CSI moment, thinking that they could get rid of the evidence, set the body of this 14-year-old baby ablaze. This is after they killed her. They raped her repeatedly, killed her, and then burned her body, and then killed her 4-year-old sister. Now. Our babies are being trained to kill their babies. This PFC, Stephen D. Green, was found to have homicidal ideations 3 months before this slaughter. We knew, the United States military knew, because he went to seek help from the Army Combat Stress Team in Iraq in 2005. This Stephen D. Green, he went to get help from them. They said, oh, this boy wants to kill some folks. And you know what? He did. And we knew about it. We knew about the possibility of it. Three months after the diagnosis, Green was summoned for a second examination on March 20th, 8 days after the killing of the family. Green was diagnosed at that point as having an antisocial personality disorder and declared unfit for service. The process of discharging him began a week later, and he was sent on home. And you want to know one single chilling line from the medical report, from the review of the treatment that Green did not receive? You want to hear one single chilling sentence from that report? Let me share it with you. Although a safety assessment was conducted, there is no safety plan addressing how Green will keep from acting on his homicidal thoughts. Huh? Huh? Oh, yeah, we know he's going to go out there and he's expressing, he is clear, he wants to kill folks. But we don't have a plan to keep him from acting on killing people. And now there is a family that no longer exists on planet Earth. The mother, the father, the daughter, the baby daughter are dead because Green, in the absence of the military, finding a plan to keep him from acting on his homicidal thoughts, in the absence of the military doing what they are supposed to do, Green found a way to act as he said he would. Murder, rape, and torture. We did that. Well, let me put it this way. It was done in our name. You know what I would like to see? You know what I would like to see? I would like to see the psychological evaluations of the cops that stroll the streets of the city of St. Louis. Because you know what? I think if we were allowed in to get those psychological evaluations, you'd see a whole lot of similarities between the words that they say and the words like Soldier Green said. Oh, they want to kill some folks. Oh, they want to kill some folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. Al.
Good morning, Miss Liz Brown.
Brother Al, good morning.
You know, you have so many superb guests. It's hard to even pick up the phone and call in. I don't want to miss one moment of your guests or your time on the air.
Thank you.
But let's go back to your first hour, Liz, and the last statement you was talking about, the attitude of the police. You know there's a law trying to be pushed here in Missouri where the police can now stop you if you're not wearing your seatbelt. We have voted that law down time and time again in the state of Missouri, but they're trying to pass that law without any other provocation that the police can stop you because you're not wearing your seatbelt. You know, they had a problem with stopping people and having to write down what ethnic group they were stopping. So
there are communities, there are cities, there are municipalities that Jay Nixon hasn't even fined them for, punished them for. They've never reported.
You know, this is a way of getting past that law, Liz. And if it's like they don't have enough powers already, why would I want you to be able to stop me because I'm not wearing my seatbelt?
No, because you say I'm not wearing my seatbelt.
Right. So they don't have to put down any group or say anything other than you or I didn't have on my seatbelt. Now, how many pursuits or chases or shootings will we have because somebody wants to enforce the seatbelt law? You know, it's ironic, Liz, that everything we are doing seems to be against the American citizen and our freedoms and our rights. Why do we need the police to enforce what I deem as my freedoms and my rights if I want to be unsafe in my vehicle? Why should the police that we know the citizens fear here in this city have any more right to stop you or apprehend you or pull you over. They're already quick to pull out their guns and aim them at you. This is just one more stick that they can break off, Liz. And it's frightening that our state would say, go after them. Stop them. Do whatever you choose to do because they're not wearing their seatbelt. Mm-hmm. You know, you made a statement yesterday that we need the militants. You know, there are militants out here, Liz. And I swear this state and this city has declared war on its people.
Gotta roll. Thank you. We'll be back. Stay with me.
Take a look at your traffic this hour. This hour's traffic and your weather. Westbound 40 from into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays. Eastbound 40 is moving very slowly through the Chesterfield Valley. Northbound 270 is stop and go on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 from the King Bridge all the way in. Look for some delays. And you just basically have a number of traffic tie-ups this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high in the mid-20s this evening. Colder, mostly clear, low around 11. For Wednesday, not quite as cold, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 30s. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high around 40. Currently we have 15 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 14 with a minus 1 wind chill. So just watch yourself and dress warm. Take a look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. Up next, more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The hallmark of any successful business is growth. And the lack of it is the main reason why small businesses fail. That's why you can't afford not to advertise, because getting the word out about your business brings you new customers. And there's no more effective and affordable means of reaching those new customers than with WGNU Radio. Call our sales manager, Brian Kay, during regular business hours at 314-454-6660. He'll be glad to show you how WGNU can help your business grow and succeed.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather@yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Each Friday, my co-host Connie Mitchell and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects, So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
My brother, I love you, and I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true. Because you're my bad brother, strong brother, and there is no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true. He's misunderstood.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning. Liz, I want to speak to your listeners, the American people, that we should really be concerned about our soldiers in Iraq becoming killing machines, because eventually they're going to have to come back here, and they're going to be, some of them may be killing machines over here. And I want to give you an example of that. I know your listening audience remember Sean Bell, who was murdered by some cops in Jamaica, Queens. The cop, I don't know his last name because I can't remember, but his first name is Mike. He's the one that shot 31 times, and I don't know whether he reloaded after that or not, but he was just less than nine months out of Iraq. And somebody like that, I would like to know, what business would he have being on the police department? Because they're coming back here mentally unstable, psychologically unstable, unfit to be on the streets here in America carrying guns. And it's evident that this person was totally out of control. And they said they were shooting so much, they were shooting up in the air, that some of the bullets reached the Jamaican station. And you could see that those Port Authority guards were diving. I saw a tape where they were shooting so wide. I don't know how far that station is from where the murders took place, but the bullets were, you could see the shadows of the bullets all in the station, and the Port Authority guards were ducking all over the place. So they were out of control.
Well, I think that the energy that lends to that is evident in the police departments all across this country, and it's evident particularly in the police department here in the city of St. Louis. That is the reason why Jeremy is laying in the ground dead, buried on his birthday.
And if you noticed, Francis Slay, the mayor, has not called a press conference to discuss the where and what and what's forth about this case.
You know what is even more interesting is the fake, self-serving campaign, and also it smacked of racism and pandering. This is what it was. It was a racist pandering campaign to the African community on the part of Jeff Smith. Jeff Smith, I'm certain that many people, if they had the time or the interest of going out there and digging up their trash, would be able to find the flyers from Jeff Smith that talked about how he was all, remember he said, I'm going to stop profiling. I'm going to push for a civilian review board. There was a meeting yesterday with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of African people on all of those issues, and Jeff Smith was out someplace else pandering on the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King. People should be outraged by that he ran on those issues, ran and pandered to our community. And I knew it was pandering when I heard it because I met him and I understand what some folks do. And here's the proof of the pudding. He's been nowhere on this issue, and he's the senator for the area that Jeremy was murdered in. Now what?
I'll bet he'll be on the scene to try to get vouchers or try to shut down the St. Louis public schools. I bet he'll be in on that.
It'll be a benign neglect. It won't be. It's one of those throw the rocks, hide the hand type of thing. His participation. He won't be out there with the baseball bat like racists before him. But he will be there as part of the process, a part of the contributions to that same end that they wanted decades ago.
And is that just like make one more comment about the crime here in the city of St. Louis? I know you're listening, audience. Remember, it was the last 4th of July weekend, and I called it Bloody Weekend because there were 15 young people shot, and five of them reportedly died. And Francis Slade did not call one press conference to talk about the killing in his city. So that, to me, shows that he totally ignores what goes on here in the city because he only said that. One thing he did say was that maybe we should vote on some kind of issue, bond issue or something, to give more money to the police department. He never said, I'm going to crack down on crime after 15 young people were shot here in the city.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Kathy.
I enjoyed your guest, too. My thing is the two young boys that were lost, I'm glad they found them. But if you notice, the police treated them with very humane treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Treated him, the pedophile, with humane treatment. They're almost refusing to say what he did to those young boys.
I think, Kathy, that your assessment of this is very, very, very true.
But I wanted to say, too, the paper has blown up there. It's in a miracle. They've blotted out completely the fact that Jeremy was murdered by the police in that patrol our area. But those were treated like whatever.
Well, I think it's a miracle, and I think it's a beautiful story,
and
my God, I've seen grown people cry about the fact that this family has their baby back. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I hope they get good counseling for them.
Good God, they're going to need good counseling.
And I'm glad that they're found, but look at the treatment our baby got.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And not only look at the treatment that our baby got, but we also have to look at what we have to do because, I mean, we understand.
And did you see yesterday on the news that they beat up, I think it was about 15 or 16, I'm not sure, and the girls were telling the police how they had beaten this young boy, and all he was doing was in his car. And they said not only did he grab him out of his car, they threw him against the car, beat him up, and then they asked him, what were you beating him for? And he said, I don't have any details on that yet. Yeah.
And this happened when?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. On Martin Luther King's birthday.
Right.
They went and found someone.
It was in East St. Louis, I think it was.
Mm, they went and found someone. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call.
Okay, take care.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Dimitri, good morning.
First of all, I want to thank you for the program yesterday, especially the fact that it was the first time I ever heard Angela Davis's voice.
Wow.
And what a moment that was for me. Again, thanks for devoting the whole program to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King.
Thank you for listening.
Could I talk? Have you seen the pictures of the memorial that they're going to erect for Dr. King?
I have not seen the pictures of it.
Oh well, keep your finger on a button to cancel me out on this because I got something to say about it that's not going to be very pleasant.
What did you see?
Well,
Well, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to take a break, Dimitri, and I'm going to come back to you, okay? I'm going to put you on hold for a second.
Okay, thank you, Liz.
We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. In the next hour, my guest is going to be visiting us from Kenya. His name is Salim Lone. He's going to talk about the bombing of Somalia. And once you hear this story, you're going to understand. You're going to, you know what? You're going to have to keep changing it, flipping the script in your head from Somalia to Iraq because it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Stay with me. I'll be back after this break.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
You in need of financial information that can change your life? Then you need to listen to the Pastor's Hour to Empower each and every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock here on WGNU. Hosted by Minister Ernest Greenlee, Reverend James Willoughby, Mr. Robani, Miss Daisy, and Doc Brown. It's designed to provide solutions to the needs of the people, the church, pastors, seniors, youth, and the community at large. Remember, your life does have value. All you need to do is unlock the potential. Find out how on the Pastor's Hour to Empower every Tuesday night at 8 here on AM 920 WGNU.
The award-winning Wake Up Call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
What's all I was lost in the world of strangers, no one to trust. On my own, I was lonely. You suddenly appeared. It was cloudy before, now it's all clear.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Dimitri, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
You were talking about what the Martin Luther King, the new, what is it?
They're calling it a memorial.
I call
it an obscenity. Let me tell you why. The memorial, in the brief clips that I saw on television last night, are the very antithesis of, I think, of what Dr. King stood and died for. The graphics depicted a mass of sweetness, light, perfume, and white marble. And it's a weak artist boudoir approach to, or an interior decorator's approach to, what I think is just an aside on the D.C. Mall. The memorial is proposed, in my mind, is an obscenity for this reason. First of all, the designer is a wealthy woman, a white woman, a woman, I think, lacking in apparent sensitivity and talent.
The designer of the Martin Luther King Memorial is white?
Yes. She's a white woman, she's a wealthy woman, and I'm an artist, and I can read things perhaps that the average person can't read. It's a weak statement. And it's a disgrace to Dr. King's memory. I think it should be stopped. I can think of three artists right here in this town who could do a remarkable job with designing a memorial because they speak the same language as Dr. King spoke. They've suffered and endured all of the things that Dr. King fought and died for.
So a white woman of privilege,
yes,
is designing the Martin Luther King Memorial.
Has designed it. It's going to be built.
Jesus.
And I just think it should be stopped. I'm so angry. I wanted to break my television set. How could they show blossoming trees planted everywhere and beautiful? They look artificial, like you buy those artificial flowers from Walmart, and white marble benches. There's nothing to do with what Dr. King. I, as a white artist, could think of a number of things, but I think it should be done by a lot of talented black artists that I know of. Right here in the city, I could name a couple. I won't do it, but I know that they could do a much better job. I'm just so upset by it, and hope that there'll be an outcry.
You know what? I'm going to do a story on that. I'm going to try to find out. I'm going to get to the bottom of that. I want to know the genesis of that.
Yes.
Okay. Very good, Dimitri. Thanks for that.
Okay, Liz.
Thanks for that. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. And my phone number here, again, is 1-877-920-WGNU. In the next hour, I'm going to be talking to Salim Lone. Salim Lone is the former UN on Iraq spokesperson. He's also a writer, and he's going to be talking to us about the bombing of the U.S. bombing of Somalia. Going to lay out the history of Somalia and why what is going on in Somalia smacks exactly of what has happened in Iraq. That's going to be in our next hour. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning, Mac.
Yeah, I'm just calling. I didn't get to you yesterday. I saw you last night. What a beautiful meeting, and I was aiming to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
So that's what I called. Today, my grandbaby's birthday.
Capricorns rock.
Right.
Capricorns rock.
So anyway, keep up the good work. Probably see you Thursday.
Thursday.
This Thursday. Okay. Well,
I don't know.
Well, okay then. Well, okay. Anyway, I see you soon.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. And, again, if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. We need to respond. We need to respond. There are so many things that are going on in our community, in our world, that, I mean, Martin Luther King's birthday is over with. I saw people out and about all day. Some people appeared to be puffed up over their participation on the dais, on the panel, or in the audience of those that are in the audience of these activities that talk about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And it's almost like people went out and partied on King, you know, and got full up on King and drank in Martin Luther King. And just like, you know, when you go out and party, you party that night and you're done the next day. You fill yourself up with whatever energy that is going on at that particular function. You go, you enjoy yourself, you have a great time, you look good, you talk to people that you haven't seen for a while, you imbibe with folks. It's a good time. I mean, and what does that have to do with work on Monday morning? It doesn't. It was one of those things. It's a party. It's a party. You did it. You had a good time. You looked good. Done and done. And my position here, my request to you here, my advice to you here is it wasn't supposed to be about a party. And that's the thing that I just noticed when I was traveling around town. Folks dressed up to the nines, wearing fur coats and diamond rings and all of that kind of stuff to again, represent their participation in events on this day. And to me, it somehow seems obscene on some level that the idea of how you participate at this Martin Luther King thing, the idea of how you participate is coming down to being able to wear things that represent you in a moneyed way. Are you feeling me? I mean, it's very disturbing to hear that the Dr. Martin Luther King Memorial is being designed by a white woman of privilege. Not because that there's anything against white artists. I have no problem with that. I have some who are favorites of mine. But it's not that. It's about the place where the artist comes from and what they're able to contribute to the message of a thing. How can you as a man truly represent? If there is a memorial to what a woman is, can it truly be reflected in through the eyes of someone who's only looking out as opposed to looking in? Can you expect that a person who has had no life experience of racism? And I'm not talking about life experience. I mean from the moment you come out your mama's womb until you are transitioned. If you had none of that life experience, how can you train artistry? Is about, I mean, a lot of folks say that the best actors, the best artists operate out of pain. That they operate out of because they are the writers. There are writers that have this ability to speak to a lot of issues because they have that thing within them. But Harry Potter, the author of Harry Potter, is not going to write a story about what it was like living under apartheid. We have much business to tend to, much business to tend to. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long...
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Jury selection is underway in Washington in the trial of Louis Libby, Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, who's accused of outing a CIA agent whose husband took on the White House on the subject of Iraq.
It's expected to take 3 or 4 days to seat a jury in this case. Libby is charged with perjury and obstruction of justice for allegedly trying to thwart the investigation into the unmasking of CIA operative Valerie Plame, whose husband challenged the Bush administration's nuclear case for war with Iraq. There's a star-studded list of potential witnesses, including Vice President Cheney, former CIA Director George Tenet, and members of the media elite.
ABC's Pam Coulter at U.S. District Court in Washington. That warm winter many of us have enjoyed is quickly becoming a thing of the past, if it hasn't already. More from ABC's Mike Funfriend.
The massive storm system has now pushed into New England, closing schools this morning and coating streets with snow. In the Midwest, hundreds of thousands remain without power, and members of the National Guard will again be going door-to-door, checking in on the most vulnerable.
Federal help is on the way to more people who are iced over. ABC's Ann Compton has details from the White House.
The major disaster declared by President Bush releases federal money to Missouri, not only to clean up debris, but to mitigate additional damage. Over the weekend, he declared an emergency in Oklahoma. In both states, it means Washington will pay part of the price of the killer storms. M. Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Authorities shut down a busy interstate near Louisville, Kentucky, after several train cars derailed and caught fire. The devil wore gold, as in the Golden Globes. Meryl Streep's turn as a nightmarish boss in The Devil Wore Prada earned her award for Best Actress in a Motion Picture or Comedy.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm really thrilled. I think I've worked with everybody in the room. Yes, I have.
The winner of the night was Dreamgirls. The Dow and the NASDAQ both up. This is ABC News.
Order! Order in the court!
It's time to render your decision. You've made up your mind, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and everyone's hanging on your every word.
I should have used Preparation H. Quick recess!
Where's he going?
You should carry Preparation H portable wipes, the discreet way to get big relief. They're convenient little packets that hold very big wipes, so you can cleanse, cool, and soothe to get relief even when you're not at home.
Order! Now, my decision.
Preparation H portable wipes. Big relief to go. Uses directed.
Attention liars, cheaters, and tow truck operators. Allow us to introduce Office Max Impress, an exciting new way to improve your image with high-quality print and document services inside your local Office Max store. That's right, meter maids, music pirates, and regular pirates. Perceptions will change when you've got professionally crafted invitations, signs, and banners from Office Max Impress, all implying one thing: I'm a winner. So buck up, tax evaders, tax collectors, slime balls, and sleaze bags, because Office Max Impress can turn your image problem into an image solution.
Well, they used to call them spinsters. How times have changed.
I was so proud of my man going out to earn a living for us.
But the New York Times says Census Bureau figures show in 2005, 51% of women said they live without a spouse, up from 35% in 1950. Women are marrying later or living with unmarried partners more often and longer, and are living longer as widows. After marriage, women are more likely to delay remarrying. Among black women, only 30% are living with a spouse, compared to 49% of Hispanic women and 60% of Asian women. While most women marry, the trend is unmistakable. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Lin Hui, the panda, no longer has eyes for her mate, Cheng Cheng. The two used to be pretty lovey-dovey. Now officials at the Thai zoo they call home say Cheng Cheng's gotten too used to the relationship and has been putting away too much bamboo and tips the scales at 331 pounds. That's a little too big for Lin Hui. He's now on a diet. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a family dog is being held responsible for the death of an Afton woman. 69-year-old Linda Matino was found dead in her home yesterday by her son, who owned the dog. Matino's family said she was a lifelong animal lover and loved the 7-year-old German Shepherd, even though she had been attacked once before. The dog is now in the care of St. Louis County Animal Control Services. County police are investigating the shooting of a man last week, allegedly by a Kinloch police officer. Friends of 22-year-old Chris Fowler say that he was visiting friends and the officer in question was patrolling the area. Witnesses say Fowler said something to the officer and then the officer attacked him. Police say they still need to speak with both Fowler and the officer, both of whom were transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Finally this hour, the St. Louis chapter of the American Red Cross is looking for blood donors. A spokesperson says that the weekend storms made the blood supply situation even worse and that there is less than a half-day supply for many blood types. To make an appointment to donate blood, call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident. Left lane's blocked. It's underneath Marshall Road. Eastbound 70 between Pierce and Wentzville. Look for traffic building due to a vehicle on fire. That's near Pierce. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for some delays. Northbound 270 from Ladue to Olive. You can expect a little slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through 79. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound 55 from 7th through the 64 Poplar Street interchange. Look for a disabled vehicle. Center lane's blocked and it's just before the 55 ramp to eastbound 70. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Bowles. Look for delays due to an accident. Shoulders blocked and that's near Bowles Avenue. Eastbound 40 between Boone's Crossing and Timberlake. That traffic's finally easing up after an accident was cleared. And northbound 270 from Olive through Page. Look for a delay there due to an accident that's been cleared at Page. But you can expect some delays as well. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason. That traffic's starting to ease up. That is a look at your traffic for this morning. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly cloudy, high in the mid-20s. This evening, colder, mostly clear with a low around 10. Wednesday, not quite as cold, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 30s. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 40. Currently we have 16 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 13. Wind chill makes it feel like it's zero. So bundle up if you're going outside. Stay tuned for more of riveting talk radio with the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your news traffic, or your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother. Stop me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Kind of lost in the discussion. It's kind of lost in the, I guess, the political attention span of the American public. People got kind of focused on the surge of tired soldiers, of exhausted soldiers. The plan, that's the plan, exhausted soldiers surging in Iraq. That's the George W. Bush's plan. People focused on that. People focused on the first 100 hours of the new Congress, the new Democratic majority in the Congress. People focused on the beginning of the new year. People focused on the murder of the lynching of Saddam Hussein. And focus on what it said about us and our participation in that. What kind of got lost in the political attention deficit of the American public is the sounds of bombs dropping in southern Somalia. Bombs being dropped by American planes. I guess maybe the same reason why the American public hasn't really connected on the issue of Somalia is because America hasn't really connected as much as they should, they could, they can, they must on the connection of oil in Iraq, that it has been and forever will be about the oil and the stuff that can be, the oil that can be stolen from others. We're going to talk about that. My guest is going to be Salim Lone. And we're going to be talking about the significance of, the meaning of, the reason of the United States of America flying over the country of Somalia, connecting with the dictatorship of Ethiopia to bomb Somalia. 920 WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. My name is Liz Brown. Don't forget that we are broadcast live over the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. And my show is archived at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, go get your hour. We'll be back to talk with journalist Salim Loh about Somalia when we come back.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Salim Loh, based, he is in the Kenya, he is based in Kenya, but he's joining us from Pakistan to talk to us about what is going on in the, what is behind the bombing of Somalia. Salim, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Pleasure to be on your radio, Steve.
It's a pleasure to have you. Before we get to the why of the U.S. bombing, can you talk to us about Somalia, and could you talk to us about Ethiopia? Give us a little historical background.
Sure. Somalia has been a turbulent country for decades, but for the last 16 years in particular, it has been completely lawless. It has had no government for 16 years. This is a record by any standards of the world in the last 100 years. Violent, rapacious warlords fighting it out with each other constantly. They drove out the UN peacekeepers who came to restore some kind of stability and provide relief in the famine. In 1992-93, they drove them out by killing first many Pakistani peacekeepers and subsequently killing 18 American soldiers in that famous Black Hawk Down incident, after which the UN left the scene. But it continued to stay lawless all those years, warlords fighting each other for pieces of territory, for resources, for access to the ocean, for access to the ports, until, miraculously, about a year ago, when a small group of businessmen and religious clerics banded together to bring stability to Somalia. And they succeeded beyond anyone's imagination in quickly winning over most Somalis by providing them the thing Somalis wanted most, which was stability and peace. And they were, in effect, able to do that, as reported by the New York Times, by the BBC. In other words, even the mainstream Western news organizations were sort of astonished that after so many years of lawlessness, there was a group which had brought peace to most of Somalia and which was also very popular. And the secret to the success, in essence, was very simple. They had used what we call Sharia law, the Islamic code of law, to persuade people to unite behind that law. And it is the one thing that is common to all Somalis. All of them traditionally have practiced the Sharia law. So that's Somalia. Finally, peace and stability after 16 years. Now, this worried the United States because they claimed that this group was sheltering terrorists. Now, let me go to Ethiopia at the same time now for some background in Ethiopia before we come to the current crisis. Ethiopia is a dictatorship. It has been involved with numerous confrontations and wars with Somalia over the generations. And at the moment, it is a dictatorship.
And Ethiopia and Somalia have been at odds with one another.
For decades.
Okay.
Absolutely right. The key to that conflict between the two countries is a region called the Ogaden, which historically was part of Somalia, because Somalis lived there, but which, under the colonial divisions of Africa, was assigned to Ethiopia.
Like the entire continent, nearly the entire continent of Africa under colonial rule, all of these artificial, arbitrarily drawn so-called borders of countries.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. This was part of one of the terrible legacies in this region of the world. There are many other terrible legacies, of course, but this was one of them, that many Somalis were divided in the middle of their country. And that portion of the land was given to Ethiopia. So Somalia actually in the 1970s fought a very bloody war with Ethiopia to try to regain the Ogaden region, with, of course, the help of the local Ogadenis who were living there. And they lost that war. But relations are very bitter between the two. And we have, at the moment in Ethiopia, a dictatorship which is very close to the United States. This dictatorship even lost the election last year, but it proclaimed itself the winner, arrested a lot of the opposition parliamentarians who had actually won their seats, arrested a lot of journalists. And it has also had a war with neighboring Eritrea, through which it used to have secure access to a seaport,
That's another important part, Salim, also the geography of this.
Yes, you're right. The geography is very important because Ethiopia is a very large country, a very historic and famous country.
A beautiful country.
Bob Marley, more than anyone else, put on the Western map for the modern generation anyway, with the Rastafarians. It's a landlocked country. It has become a landlocked country since it agreed to give up its rule over Eritrea. In addition to Ogaden, the Ethiopian Empire, so to speak, had also taken over another country called Eritrea and incorporated it into Ethiopia.
And but that gave it access to ports.
And exactly. And once it gave, it agreed to allow Eritrea to be a separate nation, it lost its access to the ports, but it did not mind because at that time it had friendly relations with Eritrea. But then the two of them got into a war over the border about 6-8 years ago, and they are still in a big stalemate. And because of that war and because of the hostility between Eritrea and Ethiopia, Ethiopia is now denied an easy direct access to the sea. So one of the interests of the Ethiopian government now is, of course, to find a secure access to the sea. In addition, of course, they do worry that the Ogaden, the people of the Ogaden, will rise up again and demand to be part of Somalia. So the two close allies, Ethiopia and the United States, had reasons as to why they wanted to control Somalia. Now, Somalia, I should mention, apart from its turbulence, lies at the very northern tip of the Horn of Africa region, a very key strategic region which is also newly oil-rich. It also includes that region, Sudan, where we saw a bloody civil war in the south of Sudan for 2 decades, which is hopefully over. And then we also see, at the moment, a very bloody civil war in Darfur as well.
And can I just throw in some American history here, too? Because I think that when we analyze these things, we also, because my concern is the assessment of the battles that go on within the continent of Africa, that they are somehow more unique or more bloody or more different than the other battles that every nation goes through. We had a bloody battle here in the United States of America when the war between the states. We had more citizens die during that war than any other war that we have fought. So countries, unfortunately, this is the human existence that we live in, but it is certainly not something that is exclusive to the continent of Africa.
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, I regret to say that most of the wars in Africa are not fought primarily at the behest of Africans. They were first fought at the behest of the various former colonial powers,
exactly,
and the United States,
exactly,
on one side, and the Soviet Union and sometimes China on the other.
And also, with respect to what happened in Somalia and Black Hawk Down, the Somalians, I mean, America went into Somalia and did the Somalian people wrong. And there was a response to that.
Yes. You know, I'd like to be clear about one thing, that initially the Americans went in for a decent cause. They went in under George Bush the First in an operation called Operation Hope. Because Somalia was in terrible humanitarian crisis, violence and inability of people to have access to food, etc. But their mission, once they got to Somalia, suddenly changed.
There you go.
And the 18 who were killed were actually killed when the United States, even though they were part of the UN, mounted an independent,
there you go,
separate operation.
There you go.
To try to kill Aidid, Muhammad Aidid,
mm-hmm,
one of the leaders of the militias, and that is what united the Somalis at that time against the United States.
There you go.
And that's when the 18 were killed. There is all this bloody history.
So we're back to the Horn of Africa, the newly rich Somalia, and there's also some more geography that we need to talk about too, the Red Sea, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen. Can we talk about that as well?
Yes, absolutely right. That Somalia sits at the tip of the Horn of Africa, which overlooks, the Horn of Africa overlooks the Red Sea, this very narrow body of water, just a few miles wide. So across from Somalia, across from Djibouti, where there's a huge American base, lies Saudi Arabia, Yemen, indeed, and beyond. There is Iraq to the north, there is Iran farther east. I always tell people who are not so familiar with the geography, and indeed those of you who are even familiar, to say, pretend for a second that there is no Red Sea, this narrow body of water, and you will see how the Red Sea divides a region which is actually, so basically what you have is a country like Somalia, very close to the Middle East. Because through the centuries, they have traded and migrated and emigrated back and forth within those countries.
We're
so
going
to strong interconnections.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Salim Lone. He is he is the former spokesperson for the UN mission in Iraq, and he's a columnist for the Daily Nation in Kenya. He's joining us this morning, however, from Pakistan. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back with this conversation about the bombing of Somalia and the reasons behind it from our good government. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Tune in every Thursday at noon to 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
How did he ever? His suffering was his under some. Get him down. How did he ever? His suffering was my fortress. I want him. Yes, the man I got shot at. I'm back at the come back in the money, thanks for telling you, but I know you go. It's a lot of possible. Kick up and gun and now.
Kick up and gun and now. Welcome back to Who the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm talking this hour to Salim Lone. He is a former spokesperson for the UN mission in Iraq, and he's a columnist for the Daily Nation in Kenya. He's joining us this morning from Pakistan. We're talking about the bombing of Somalia. And Salim, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
And we're talking about the importance of this entire region. We're talking about the Horn of Africa. There, you talked about the Red Sea. But talk to us also about the United States military presence in the region. This is very important to this government.
Sure. You know, the U.S. has established a huge base in Djibouti, which is a country that neighbors Somalia to the north, a very small country, actually. And there they have a major U.S. Armed Forces base. In addition, they have a major counter-terrorism task force operating out of that same country.
Djibouti.
Yes.
Djibouti. Now, and this is new. This is recent.
This is recent, but what is even more new is that the U.S. military requested from President Bush the permission to establish a brand new African command. There has been no African command up till now because the base in Djibouti is part of CENTCOM, which is run out of Florida, as you know. And you know, the head of CENTCOM is General John P. Abizaid. Abizaid is in charge of Iraq policy, although he's about to leave. And Abizaid, this region that we're talking about in Africa, is so important that Abizaid actually visited Ethiopia 6 weeks ago in November. He visited in November. That is how important this region is, and it is going to have, there is going to be a brand new African command of the U.S. Military here in Djibouti.
Now, yeah, and I just want to underscore something for our listeners. General John Abizaid went to Ethiopia. Ethiopia is run by a dictator. And he went to Ethiopia 6 weeks ago to talk specifically about Somalia.
Correct. Absolutely. Because there are a lot of strategic interests in Somalia. And let me now go back to a terrible thing that happened in my country, Kenya, in 1998. There was a huge terrorist attack in August of that year on the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi, Kenya, in which over 200 Kenyans died, as well as 11 Americans. Since that attack, the U.S. has rightly been concerned about terrorism in this region, and the U.S. has been concerned about Somalia in particular because the planning for that attack on the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi, Kenya, a very bloody attack, was done in Somalia. The team that carried out the bombing included no Somalis, because Somalis, on the whole, are not militant people. They're very brave. They're like, they're indomitable, the way Afghanis are from in Afghanistan, the Afghanistan people. But they are not militant extreme in that sense. So there were no Somalis in the group that planned the attack or carried out the attack. However, because Somalia has been completely lawless, it was very easy for these terrorists to establish their groups in Somalia and to plan that attack from there. So this is the great irony. This is the true irony for me, that it was in that lawlessness of Somalia that this terrible attack took place on the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi. And yet, when the Islamic Courts Union, for the first time, brought peace to Somalia about 8-9 months ago, the U.S. immediately began a campaign to topple them.
But lawlessness provides, as you've just described, opportunities.
Lawlessness
provides opportunities. Chaos provides opportunity. So,
yes.
You know, if you're trying to get at, you're trying to get some things done in a not so lawless way, I mean, it's not so lawful way,
yes.
Lawlessness provides a wonderful opportunity.
No, you're absolutely right. And I have said that what the U.S. is doing now is completely lawless in Somalia. But it is so ironic that the U.S., which legitimately needs to defend itself against terrorism, actually toppled a government which brought stability and therefore brought the possibility of ensuring that there would be no planning for terror in Somalia.
Well, the question becomes, which is more important, oil?
Yes. Right. There's oil, there is... And basically, you see, remember, the U.S. has encircled with bases and troops much of the Middle East. And, of course, by Middle East, I include Iran, which is, of course, the latest U.S. target, it seems. And, therefore, this Somalia provides yet another opportunity for the U.S. to encircle the Middle East. And if the U.S. intent was to fight terror, the best, easiest way was to engage with the Islamic courts, which had offered to cooperate completely with the West, was to engage with them, not to topple them.
But isn't the Islamic courts that were controlling Somalia and have been for the last year or so,
yes,
is different than the way that the government is run in Ethiopia? Would you say that one was more democratic and one was not?
Oh, without any question. This one, the Islamic Courts Union, had a lot of popular support. And this was, again, as I said before, reported by an astonished Western media. You know, all the big news organizations, from the New York Times to the Washington Post to CNN, BBC, they were all astonished that this group not only had been able to pacify and bring peace to the country, they were also very popular. They were not doing so through the rule of the gun.
But how easy is it for, again, with the attention deficit that Americans have with the history outside of the borders of the United States, or even our own history, but also with what goes on in the continent of Africa, how easy is it to demonize an entity in America whose name is Islamic Courts?
Oh, you know, you're so right. I'm so glad you're saying that, Liz, because this is one of the great, great challenges we face that will destroy this world, I'm afraid, which is the demonization of Muslims on the one hand, and then, of course, one must not omit to say that there are Muslims who practice terror. There are very many of them.
But there are people that practice terror within every group that's on the face of the earth, aren't there? I mean, we are part of the human existence.
Terrorism, you're absolutely right. I'm a Muslim myself. But while terrorism has been a scourge throughout history, and indeed, suicide bombing, for example, you know, India lost three prime ministers. Well, it lost its founder, Mahatma Gandhi, to a terrorist. It lost the prime minister, Indira Gandhi. She was killed by a terrorist. And then her son, Rajiv Gandhi, was killed by a terrorist.
Mm.
So there is terrorism everywhere. But I don't think that should blind us to the problem that at the moment in world history, as far as international terrorism goes, this is being practiced by Muslims. I mean, there are very concrete reasons for that. And the main reason for that is, of course, the continual assault on Muslim lands and the wars of aggressions and the occupations. I mean, it's not that Muslims are inherently...
But that is the reason why I spoke to that, because there is this energy, and I know this as a woman of African descent, that there is an energy to define a certain group of people in a certain way as they relate to the issue of crime. It's done in America with people that look
right.
like me. So that's why I want to make certain to say that.
The point. The link is very clear. So you demonize a group. And what that demonization does, it camouflages your real strategic interests, your real goals.
There you go.
So you say Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and links with terrorism, but what you really, because that's not true, of course, but that's what you say, that gets you the support of the people in America, and then you go in, and what you want to do is to control that country with a client regime.
And it serves
absolutely
the,
right.
And it serves the same purpose when our planes begin to drop bombs on Somalia, because Somalia is being ruled by an Islamic court union. And that can't possibly be right after everything that our government has been banging into people's heads about Islam, Muslims, and their relationship with us.
You're absolutely right. And what we have today, as you know, the government banned the three main radio stations in Somalia.
Mm.
The president said today that Mogadishu is in complete chaos. There is violence and rape everywhere.
Mm.
And this is being admitted by themselves, who claimed, the so-called government that was put in place by Ethiopia and the United States, was claiming we would be greeted by flowers.
Well,
people putting flowers when we go in.
Same thing.
That they thought would happen in Iraq. Not the thought, that they claimed would happen in Iraq, to develop local, you know, American support. And we see now peace in Somalia replaced again by brutal lawlessness.
But we also, don't we also have to add, Salim, that kind of like what happened with Haiti, with the removal of the kidnapping of President Aristide, democratically elected president, all of a sudden after that happened and the chaos that ensued after that, Haiti or the UN brought in French peacekeepers, and the French had not been on Haitian soil since they kicked them out, and France has never forgotten about that over 100 years ago. What we're seeing now in Somalia, the presence of Ethiopian troops, and that's a provocative act.
They hate it. I mean, Ethiopian troops are hated. In fact,
but it's provocative too.
It sent support for the Islamic court much higher, and of course, it also strengthened the hands of the radicals.
But
point to Ethiopians and the U.S. interference.
So the question that from my perspective is that when you know that the presence of an Ethiopian army in Somalia is as provocative as that, you have to ask the question of, is it intentional? You know better. You know what this is going to do. Is it intentional?
Absolutely. I mean, I think what, in my view, Liz, what is happening here is that there is no concern whatsoever about how people feel. They are using brute force to dominate that country. They don't care if the group that's sent in to do so is hated by the people, because they're not going to try to win hearts and minds, as they say. They're there to achieve their goal using force. That is what is going on now. And even the small Somali group that supposedly forms the new government does not care that it has people who are hated, who are supporting them, the Ethiopians and as well as the United States. Absolutely right.
We will be. We have to take a quick break here, Salim. When we come back, I'd also like to talk about the UN's role. How did these Ethiopian troops even get into Somali? What was the UN's role with that? I'm talking to Salim Lone. He is joining us from Pakistan, but he is the former UN spokesperson for the UN mission in Iraq and a columnist for the Daily Nation in Kenya. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour I'm having a conversation with the former spokesperson for the UN mission in Iraq and a columnist for the Daily Nation in Kenya, Salim Lone. He is joining us this morning from Pakistan. And Salim, when we went out, I was asking you to come back and to talk to us about the UN role in the fact that we now have Ethiopians with guns in Somalia.
Well, it's, you know, another very sad tale how the United Nations now just accedes to whatever the United States wants. It's pathetic. I mean, it is just a low point in UN history, completely craven body now, which no longer is interested in peace and security, but interested primarily in making sure that the United States stays happy. This, of course, after its high point when it refused to go along with the war on Iraq, the UN Security Council. What happened now, this time, of course, is there was an arms embargo in place against Somalia since the early 1990s. The U.S. completely violated that embargo when it began to arm the former warlords over the last 2 years. Ethiopia did the same when it began to pour in weapons into Somalia and its own troops. So they first began to violate that arms embargo. Subsequently, the U.S., once it became clear that the Islamic courts were in charge now of Somalia, the U.S. went to the Security Council last December, last month, and it asked the Council to authorize a so-called peacekeeping force drawn from the region, which would go in, A, to restore peace and stability, and B, to protect what is called the transitional government. This, were it not so deadly, the consequence was a laughable resolution, because A, there was peace and stability after 16 years in Somalia. So how the UN could possibly decide that an international force was needed to restore peace and security?
And what government? You know, and bringing in what government?
Yes, that's right. Because there was a government.
Right.
In fact, a government in place with a lot of popular support. While the so-called U.S.-backed government, and backed by Ethiopia as well, the transitional government, had no support. It was stuck in a small town for 2 years, could never even move out of that small town.
Mm.
And this government was formed outside Somalia. It was not even formed in Somalia. It was formed in Kenya, in Nairobi, my hometown. So there was peace and stability, and the notion that this transitional group should be protected somehow was bizarre. But the UN resolution also said, under pressure from the Europeans in particular, that this peacekeeping force that should go in, composed of countries from the region, should not contain any troops from the neighboring countries. And so, in another blatant violation, of that resolution, Ethiopia, which is a neighboring country, sent in troops not only as not as part of the of a regional peace force, but unilaterally. And the U.S. itself inserted its armed forces into the country, Somalia. So it was a blatant violation of the very resolution that the U.S. itself had gotten passed. So this is what happens now. The U.S. looks for resolutions, uses them to the extent that it needs to, and then discards them. It forgets that they are still in place, that they are the lawful authority, and then decides for new resolutions. And the minute they are passed and they no longer serve their purpose, they forget those resolutions as well and violate.
The African Union.
Yes.
Their role in this, surely they had something to say about this.
Well, the African Union, to its credit, has asked that Ethiopians withdraw right away because they recognize that that is an inflammatory presence in Somalia, and it's definitely not conducive to peace and security. But there is not much more that they can do. I mean, what is the African Union against the United States?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, countries listen to what the U.S. wants to say and to do because they're so dependent on it. There's so much wealth and power in the United States.
And let's,
this can be so easily bought by that. And,
And let's go back to the oil piece of this. The fact that Somalia is newly oil rich, that's one factor. But also there's the factor of China was also in the region, presumably making deals to get at that oil.
You're absolutely right. Hu Jintao, the Chinese president, was in three countries of the region last year, including my own country, Kenya, in Sudan, in Ethiopia, to try to marshal trade agreements, oil agreements. So it is a very strategic region.
But also, isn't that also, or can that be said to be a motivating factor for the United States to get in there and to take this stuff too?
No, oil, as I said earlier, when it invaded Iraq, the number one goal was not weapons of mass destruction or terrorism, as it was claimed. It was oil, first and foremost, because oil is the key strategic commodity in the world today, especially with India and China rising as giant economic powers and yet needing a lot of oil. So control of oil now is one of the key strategic goals of the United States, because with that control meaning the ability to manipulate prices, which would benefit the United States rather than any other countries, that is a key issue at the moment, oil. You're absolutely right.
And
therefore, the oil in the region is key.
And we only have a few more minutes here, so let me ask you this, Salim. How much do we know about what the U.S. has done in Somalia in the bombing? Do we know how many people have died? Do we know how many bombs have been dropped? What do we know?
Well, it is hard to know because there is very little presence of journalists in Somalia. What we do know is that scores of people were killed. It was claimed by most people they died as a result of the U.S. bombing. The U.S. has denied it. The U.S. has said only terrorists were killed in their bombing.
Well, they must
I
be
find that hard to believe.
Well, anybody with common sense would find that hard to believe because we don't have a record of that.
No, absolutely right. And then thousands, and this is the terrible part, you know, Somalia, because of its lawlessness, is the poorest country in the world. It is battling with the enormous humanitarian crisis at the moment because of the floods that came after years of drought. So there have been one crisis after another, humanitarian crisis. And thousands of heads of livestock, camels, goats, cattle, were killed in that bombing. Again, the U.S. denies it. But pastoralists and their cattle, by many independent witnesses, and this was reported by Western news organizations as well, were killed. So this is devastating a country which is already so far down. People are really, really hurting.
And in terms of the media reporting of this, what has the Western media said, by and large, about the bombing of Somalia by the United States and the presence of Ethiopia there?
Well, you know, I mean, on the one hand, I must be fair, and I must say that it is thanks to the Western media that, to the extent that people knew about the situation in Somalia, they found out that this little group, the Islamic Courts Union, had brought peace and stability there and was very popular. But, of course, there are many other things they're not reporting now. Once the U.S. acts directly, you know, all the other subtleties are lost. And then all you're seeing is the U.S. is striking a terrorist, and there is not enough background analysis to show that, well, maybe the aim was to get some terrorists, but there were much bigger aims as well. And in this particular case, the aim, one of the bigger aims, was, of course, to kill as many of the leaders of the Islamic Courts Union.
And how many of those of their leaders have been killed?
Well, you know, we don't know, actually. I mean, we don't know. I monitor the situation reasonably closely, but we don't, so far, know too much about how many have been killed. The U.S. claims that they killed 10 terrorists. But, of course, for the U.S., even the Islamic Courts Union leaders were terrorists, and therefore they were fair game. So, but I don't actually know. I don't know if any of the Islamic Courts leaders, obviously Islamic Courts members were killed, but we don't know, I don't know for sure how many people were leaders were killed.
So what's your prediction, Salim?
Well, prediction is, you know, as we see now, there is rape, there is lawlessness in Mogadishu, the capital, once again. I mean, it's so sad. It's like a glorious sort of period, you know. If this world were not so completely and comprehensively dominated by the United States, the Islamic Courts Union would have been held up as an example, a model of how it is possible to overcome years and decades of lawlessness and violence. No, that was not to be. And there was this wonderful period of 6-8 months where it seemed peace could come to Somalia, but that is no more.
Salim Lohn, a former spokesperson for the UN mission in Iraq and columnist for the Daily Nation in Kenya. Where can we get access to some of your writings?
Well, I guess two places. One is commondreams.org, and the other one is guardian.co.uk. If you go to those sites and punch in my name under search, you will see most of my writings, if not all.
Very good, Salim. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and stay strong.
You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare...